Will you please turn with your Bible, in your Bible with me, please, to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Once upon a time, I was in the military, a long time ago now, it seems. And while I was in the military, I had the opportunity once to do a link up with another unit, which is kind of a dangerous thing in which you, as the name implies, you link up together. And so your unit, thank you, bud, and another unit have to connect. And on, you know, in dangerous areas, it's a little perilous to do that because you don't know who the good guys are, who the bad guys are, and you make yourself vulnerable to actually say hello. And so on this particular night, it was about 2 in the morning, and I had to do a link up with a recon unit who was doing a reconnaissance in this area that I was. And I received by radio the call sign, like the radio call thing. Everybody know what a call sign is? The special name that you get? In the military, the number 6 is always the leader. And so I got my call sign instructions from this person, and their call sign, the leader's call sign, was Pale Horse 6. Pale Horse 6, which I thought was a very cool call sign. And so I got on the radio and I called Pale Horse 6, who was somewhere out doing this reconnaissance in the middle of Baghdad, and we were gonna link up together. And I got a call back on the radio, and it sounded something like, "This is Pale Horse 6, over." And I was like, whoa! Like, not only a cool call sign, but this guy sounded like Rambo. I was like, this guy is a guy. And he's been out, like, for days. Like, this is a really, you know, special guy. I'm like, wow, this guy is cool. And so time is going on, and it's getting later and later, and we're going through all of our little signaling instructions to make sure we know each other, and I call him again. I'm like, "Hey, Pale Horse, I'm on my way to see you." And he's like, "Roger that." And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I'm expecting, like, you know, maybe RoboCop's going to come out. I don't know. Something, it's going to be amazing. And so we get to the area we're going to be in. This guy's in this little tank. And the back of the little tank thing, personal carrier, opens up. And he comes walking down. And it's like, it was like a movie. Like, there was fog. It was like a little bit of light coming from inside. You could just see his silhouette. And I'm just in a, like a Humvee. Like, in just my Humvee. So I jump out of my Humvee, my truck, and I walk over, and I'm standing there, and we got our security guys, you know, and everything, and I'm like preparing myself for Pale Horse 6, like, "Hello, sir." You know, I don't know what this is gonna look like. And Jonah, stand up. And so I'm standing there, and Pale Horse 6 jumps down from his little tank thing and walks up to me and goes, "Hey, what's up? I'm Pale Horse 6. And I was like, no, the Pale Horse 6 guy. And he was like, "Yeah, it's me." And I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Wow, how you doing, man?" He was like, "This is not fun. We gotta link up. What's going on?" I was like, "Okay." But he did not meet my expectation. My son, Jonah, has very much met my expectation. He's wonderful. But I thought Pale Horse 6 was gonna be big. And he was not. And he came out and he was like, "Well, what do we do?" And I was like, "I don't know. I'm supposed to meet with you." He's like, "Oh, just, I'll follow you." I was like, okay, did not meet my expectation at all. Thank you, Jonah, you did a great job. Isn't it funny how our expectations, they can change how we look at things, isn't it? Do you remember when you were a little kid and you heard on Easter morning something like, "Darlings, come down, Easter baskets"? Maybe, no? I'm looking at all the moms here. I don't think it sounded like that. Do you remember that, those kind of things? "Happy birthday." We hear those kind of things. Then from your dad, you hear, "Get down here now," right? That's a different kind of thing. You remember when you were like 6, 5, and you made a beautiful mural on the wall that you thought was gonna be, you thought, "Man, they're gonna frame this. They're gonna see it, and they're gonna send me to art school." That's what you thought was gonna happen. And instead, you were met with a different kind of thing. And it was your name being said. But your name being said, "Stephen Joseph Adelini." It was like that, and that has a different, man, when the middle name comes out, not good. You know, our names are important, and being called by our names are important. They identify us. We have our own identification through our names, but there's also expectation that comes based on the tone and the way that you hear your name. We're gonna read a story this morning about Jesus, and he's gonna call the name of one of his disciples, and I want you to catch how Jesus resurrects him, and it's by calling his name. And it's an amazing story where we see the power of God, the creator who took on flesh, who just speaks into existence healing and resurrection. How incredible. Let's read together in John chapter 11. We're going to start in verse 1. It says this. Now a certain man, John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. What does that mean? It means he and Jesus are really good friends. They're best buddies. When Jesus heard that it was said, But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, that means teacher, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. That means kill him by throwing stones at him until he's dead. Beat him to death with stones. That's rough. And you are going there again? Verse 9. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant that he was taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, and his fellow disciple, said, let us go, that we may die with him. Now, praise the Lord for his word. In this little passage that we've read, two strange things happen. The first one is, Jesus has a really close friend named Lazarus. They're really good friends together. And Lazarus is very sick. And so Lazarus being very sick, Mary, his sister, has sent word to him saying, please come, we need your help. And so in hearing the news that Lazarus is very sick, Jesus decides to wait where he is for 2 days, which is a very strange thing. God's timing is not always our timing. So Jesus heard the message, he knew what was going on, and he told the disciples that this thing that's happened is not so that Lazarus will die. The sickness will not lead to death. Rather, it's for the glory of God. You know, sometimes God's timing in our life is for his glory and not always for our comfort. And though he does good things for us and helps us, he doesn't have to follow our timeline. That doesn't mean that he doesn't hear us. And that doesn't mean that he's not coming. It means that he's going to make sure his glory is seen. And so Jesus waits 2 days. That's really weird. But then he's having this long discussion. Now, if the leader of the troop, if you will, says, hey, we're going to go to Judea to see Lazarus, you'd think that the disciples would be like, great, let's go. Instead, there's kind of this discussion back and forth. And they say, well, he's asleep. And they're like, great, he'll wake up. It's fine. And then Jesus explains to them, no, he's died. We need to go. And it's for your sake that we're going. That's a weird statement. Lazarus died. It's good I wasn't there for your sake so that you can see the glory of God. Let's go to Judea. And then Thomas, what's Thomas known for? Do you remember Thomas? Doubting, right? Thomas says actually a very profound statement, because in the context we read, this was the same area where the Jewish leaders were trying to stone Jesus. That means they wanted to put him into a valley, throw rocks at him until he was dead, along with his disciples. And so Jesus is going back into this area where there's great and imminent danger. And Thomas says to the disciples, let us go with him that we might die with him. Because doubting Thomas, as he's known for, is actually ready to lay down his life for Jesus. How incredible is that? Because he's assuming if we go to Judea, we're not going to come back. So what do the disciples do? They go with Jesus to Judea. Now, along the way, they're going, and they're expecting, because Jesus has already told them plainly, that Lazarus is dead. Let's start again in verse 17. Here's what it says. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been laid in a tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but he was still in the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who were with her in the house, that's Mary in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come to her with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said to her, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" What an interesting comparison between the faith of those who know what Jesus can do and those who also know what he can do, but criticize him for how he does it. Lord, be it that we are people who never criticize you, but always trust you. You know, Jesus weeps over his friend Lazarus who died. It's the shortest verse in the Bible, as you know. If you went to Sunday school, you know that one, because that one you memorized, right? But this short verse in the Bible that Jesus wept is important, because Jesus, though he was delayed in coming, and Jesus had said, "I never do anything except what the Father tells me to do." So the Father delayed him in coming. Now, Lazarus has been laid in the tomb 4 days. And when he gets there, Jesus sees Mary weeping, sees the people weeping, and he's moved himself also to weep. You know, Jesus, fully God, fully man, he sees you, he hears you, and he cares for you. Sometimes we get this idea that God is like above emotions. You know, he made emotions. And Jesus really does care for his people. And Jesus knows that he's going to raise him from the dead because he's just had 2 conversations about it. He's already told the disciples days earlier that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet the sadness of the scene impacts him so that he weeps. Because we have a Savior who really cares for us. We have a Savior who enters into the grief of our situations, who knows what it means to be sad. That's important. That's really important. Because he, though tempted as we are in every way, had no sin. He, though he's God, also knows what it feels like to be a human. And we have a Savior who knows us. What a great King we have in Jesus. So Jesus comes, he weeps at the tomb. He's already talking to the disciples about these great things that he's going to do. And then, when we come to the tomb, we see something important happen. Let's read again at verse 38. It says this, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.'" You ever smelled that kind of odor? It's yucky, isn't it? I went hunting one time, and I've never got anything hunting, but that's a different thing. So I went hunting one time, and there was a cow. The property I went to was a cattle ranch, and a cow had died, unfortunately, in some kind of flash flood by a creek. So I was crossing the creek and suddenly became aware that there was a cow there, but it was not a live cow. It had been there for some time, and man, I'll tell you what, as soon as the wind shifted, wow, That will wake you up in the morning. It will, won't it? Have you ever, anybody had a seventh grader before? Eighth grader, sixth grader, somewhere in that range? You ever found a lunchbox from like the end of school and now it's the beginning of school? And you open up that thing and there's a tuna sandwich in there that now is alive with something else. You don't know what it is, but it has morphed into some kind of Chernobyl thing. It's just, it's awful, isn't it? But that smell will stick with you. And so Martha is expecting the smell of death because that's what she should expect. Because that's what death smells like. You know, the stench of sin and the stench of death, it's not easy to get out of your nose. It permeates what happens to us in life. And that's what Martha's expecting. She's expecting that odor to be there. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and his feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Praise the Lord. Lazarus came out. When God calls your name, do you expect that it's going to be a loud Lazarus come out? Or a Stephen Joseph, what have you done? When God calls your name, do you expect that it's so quiet you can't hear him? Do you expect that the din and the smell of death, or that the stone will still be there and it will be so dark that you can't move and get out? Because though he calls you, he didn't prepare for you to come. What's our expectation? Because names are important. And the way God calls us is important. And in this case, we hear Jesus calling Lazarus. And he doesn't say to him, "Dead man, come out." He doesn't say to him, "Hey, bound guy, come on out." He doesn't say to the stone, "Hey, stone, move away first." He could have done any of those things. Instead, he calls Lazarus by name and says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus comes to life and comes out of the tomb, still bound by all the stuff that's there for everybody to take off. Could you imagine that scene? Could you imagine being ready for the stench to hit you at any moment when the wind shifts, and instead this guy comes hopping out? How amazing. But that's what resurrection in Christ looks like. That's what it looks like when Jesus, who's the victor of all things, gives us his victory. Will you turn with me, please, to John a little bit further? And we're going to turn to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, Jesus is raising from the dead. You see, Jesus has done what we could not do. He went to the cross for us, not just to do something nice, not just because he's following his own teachings. He went to the cross for us because the only way for us to be saved from our condemnation and our punishment, our treachery against God, the only way to make it right for God was for him to die. Well, why is that? It's because the wages, what's earned by sin, is death. So the penalty of sin is death. And so Jesus takes the penalty for us. He goes to the cross and he dies for us. He enters into that stench for us so that we can know his righteousness. And so Jesus Christ goes to the cross. He suffers there. He dies for us. And 3 days later, something incredible happens. We've already heard about it this morning. The stone gets rolled away. The foreshadow that we've seen with Lazarus suddenly is kind of being reenacted. And now something happens and Jesus raises to life. John's account is just a little bit different in his memory than Matthew. Matthew, kind of, that we read earlier at the beginning of the meeting, sort of summarizes what happens. John sort of takes little segments to tell you a little bit more detail about what happens. So let's read in chapter 20 at verse 11. And in verse 11, Mary, that same Mary that we just read about, Lazarus's sister, has gone to the tomb, and she has gone to try to put some ointments and stuff on the body because they've laid him in the tomb just a little bit before, but it was Sabbath and they couldn't do things. And so now she's gone. She's found the tomb opened. The angels that we read before have told her Jesus isn't here. And so then we have this scene that happens. And let's read together John chapter 20, verse 11. It says this, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb." She's crouched down like this to look in. And she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and she saw him. She said in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go and tell my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and all the things that he had said to her. So here she is, standing in the place of death, expecting the stench. And now instead of the stench, and instead of a wrapped up person, she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize him. And then we have a name said again, this time the name Mary. And upon hearing her name, she recognizes him. How do you expect God will say your name? Do you expect that it will be the writing on the wall, middle name said, he's coming to you for punishment? Do you expect that he has not prepared the way for you and that you might hear his voice, but you're going to have to do a lot of work to get yourself unbound? You're going to have to do a lot of work to find yourself out of that tomb. It's going to be like Indiana Jones. You'll come to life for sure, but then you got to figure it out yourself. In neither of these cases does that happen. When Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, he calls out Lazarus's name, and Lazarus immediately comes to life. No stench, no death, still in the clothes, but hopping out. When he calls Mary's name, something also happens in Mary. Because Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, he is the resurrection and the life. You see, there is no salvation except by Jesus Christ, and not just by his death. It's not just that he took the punishment for us to die on the cross that we might be able to come to God. It's that he raises us to life like him so that we can have his life and his righteousness to be able to have fellowship with God. You see, Jesus's work is so complete. It's not just that he saves us and calls your name. It's that he calls your name and makes you a new creation in himself so that you might be resurrected to life too, so that you can say right back to him, "Oh, Jesus." What does Mary do as soon as she sees him? She clings on to him. And he's like, "Hold on, we're not ready for that yet." Why? Because he's Jesus. What will it be like when he calls your name? Maybe you've been away for a long time. Maybe you've been going down your own path for a long time. You knew, you grew up, you heard it. You knew Jesus wept. I got that one. You knew all the Sunday school verses, but then it's been a long path. Things happened along the way. It wasn't good. I want you to know, if Jesus calls your name, it's resurrection and life. Maybe you've never heard him call your name. Maybe for the first time you want to hear him call out Lazarus, call out Mary, call out your name. The Bible tells us that if we come to him and we say, "Lord, forgive me. I'm yours. I trust in you." We heard it this morning with our baptism. The ladies, you did fantastic. Congratulations. What we did not hear was, "I got myself good enough that I can come to you." What we did not hear was, "I'm pretty okay, and so I'm coming to Jesus." We didn't hear that. We heard instead, "Lord, I trust you. My whole heart, with everything I am, I put my trust on you, Jesus, your death, your resurrection, your righteousness, and I'm saying it with my mouth." And that's what the Bible says. If you believe in him and say, "Lord, I'm yours," if you confess with your mouth, "Jesus, you are Lord," then you'll be saved. How do you do that? You come to him and say, "Lord, I forgive me. I repent. I turn away from that and I turn to you." Now, here, this is important. You don't turn to doing better. "Lord, if you do this for me, I'll do better. I'll do it. It's not that. "Lord, I turn to you, away from myself. I'm not going to do that anymore. because I'm holding on to you like Mary did. Lord, I'm holding you. Now, do you obey? Yes, we obey. But it's holding on to Jesus. It's him. He's our life, not the obedience that we have while we're holding on to Jesus. He's our life. He's the resurrection. And so he's our hope, because in Jesus Christ, we have life and life abundantly. In Jesus Christ, you don't have to ever be afraid that you're going to hear God call out to you, oh, middle name, I'm going to get you. That's not how God acts with us. Why not? Because he has saved us. He's clothed us. He's called us to be his. And Jesus took all of that wrath for the sin upon himself so that we can stand in the benefit of his grace, his unearned favor that he's given to us. What a God we have. So today, how do you expect that you will hear him? Maybe you're walking with him now and it's been a while since you've really felt him close. And you say, Lord, I called on you 2 days ago, and now the situation's dead. Why didn't you come? Mary and Martha both come to Jesus and say, Lord, if you'd just been here, you would have helped me get that promotion. If you'd just been here, my kid wouldn't have a broken arm. If you'd just been here, whatever. But his timing is perfect. And it's for his glory that he shows up when he shows up. But we have a God who doesn't, he's not like, ha-ha, wait a little longer. Yeah. We have a God who hears us and hears our cry. We have a God who knows us, who weeps with us. And yet, in the right moment, his deliverance looks like life and resurrection. So if it's been a long time since you felt him, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is close. And his name is on your lips. His name, your name is on his lips. So let's make his name on our lips and praise him. Today, if you're feeling weak in your faith, we're going to sing another song. After we're done with the song, I'm going to be up here by the baptismal. I would love to pray with you. If you feel like, man, it's maybe it's been forever, or maybe I just need a touch from the Lord. He's here with us, and he is good. So let's proclaim his name and let your ears spiritually hear him call yours. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together.